If you've been here the last couple of weeks, we're going to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. And we'll start with verse 10. Ephesians 6 and 10. Paul, writing to the church there, said, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to take your stand, your ground, and after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." Now, I often hear two extremes when it comes to Satan. I hear those that simply blow him off as a joke. You know, there's not really a Satan. There's no need to worry about it. It's just who we blame when we don't want to blame ourselves. And then there's the opposite extreme that almost makes Satan out to be a equal to God, only the equal or the evil counterpart to God. Truth is, both of those extremes are not biblical. We should not underestimate the fact that we do have an enemy, and certainly the writers of the New Testament never underestimated his power. But neither should we overestimate what he can do, because here's the truth, folks. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the church of the living Christ. The truth is simply this: when Jesus opens the door, no one shuts it until he's ready for it to be shut. The truth is, the church needs to wrap itself in the truth and begin to live that truth. And when we do that, when that righteousness begins to truly impact everything that we do, then God will use us to make a difference. See, righteousness means that we go out into our communities and we are not going to walk by people that are hurting, but we're going to do something about it. Righteousness means that we are even going to love those that hate us. Truth is, I don't hear a lot of that one out there. Oftentimes, all I hear is, you know, we lambast, we talk evil, we talk bad about people that truly hate us, but I don't hear a lot of love in the voices. And I wonder, is there really any prayer going out for them? But righteousness says we love our enemies as well as our friends. See, righteousness is hard. Scratch that. Righteousness is impossible without the presence of Jesus Christ living in us. And once we wrap our lives in his truth, once we put on the breastplate of righteousness, then it's time to lace up our shoes and engage. See, having your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. See, yes, Satan is out there and he is opposed to everything that we're doing. And yes, there are some people out there that want bad things to happen to us, but we stand in his mighty power. Our readiness to not only take a stand, but to get out there and engage comes from the gospel. The gospel is Jesus loves us and he didn't come to condemn us. See, we are in a battle for souls. But let's make it more personal this morning. We're in a battle for the souls of our children because Satan wants them to spend eternity in hell. How much do we want them to spend eternity in his presence? See, the truth is this. We often act like, you know, that it's no big deal, but we're in a battle for our husbands, our wives, our family, and our friends. See, we can act like it's not a battle, but that only makes us vulnerable. So Paul said, put your shoes on and get out there, because it's time to go. And how we as the Christians need to realize that. You know, one of the great side benefits of being on the move and always moving around is that a moving target is much harder to hit. You know, boxers, they spend endless hours training their legs to move around. Why? Because they know when they start standing still, the other guy knows exactly where they are, and it's a whole lot easier to hit them. So let's lace up our shoes, because here's the thing. See, most people aren't going to come to us. We're going to have to go to them. And this morning, it doesn't matter how old you are, and it doesn't matter how young you are. If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, there's things to do, people to reach, and God wants you out into the harvest field because people need Jesus. our readiness to engage this morning. And I really do like this. It comes from the gospel of peace. See, and when we're excited about that gospel of peace in our life, we can't help but be moving around. We'll have happy feet. And wouldn't peace be nice this morning? I mean, I don't know about you, but I'd love to live in a world where there wasn't so much killing and hatred going on. It don't matter whether you get your news from the TV or the internet or wherever you do. There's just a lot of evil out there. I mean, wouldn't it be nice to live in a world where Hamas and Israel were getting along? Wouldn't it be great if the Russian and the Ukrainians weren't fighting and killing each other and shooting down jets? Wouldn't it really be nice if there was less civil war, like in Syria, where millions have been displaced and millions killed? Look, I don't know about you, but I sometimes catch myself going to that passage in Isaiah and dreaming about the peace that he wrote about, that unnatural, supernatural peace when he said, the wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the goat, and the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and the little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, and their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw just like the ox. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as much as the waters cover the earth. See, that's peace. That's the supernatural peace that God's people already possess within us the moment that we embrace Christ. What a day it will be when peace rules, but that's just not the way that it is right now. There's so much discontentment. So many people are unhappy and hurting, and so many are trying to find that inner sense of peace and longing. So here's some more truth. Wherever there's sin, there is no peace. See, God's explicit about it. God says, there is no peace for the wicked. Just the way that it is. You know, the old expression is, there's no rest for the weary, and I don't know, I guess that's true enough, but here's one I do know in, there is no peace for the sinner, and we need help. I've ran across a Lowe's commercial recently, and you may have seen it, I guess it's run a while, but if you want to look up, you can look it up on YouTube later this afternoon, not during service, but later this afternoon for those of you. But just type in Lowe's commercial ceiling fans. And this man has just installed a ceiling fan. And you can tell he's proud of his work. I mean, there's this beautiful ceiling fan hanging there. And he comes down off the ladder and he walks over to the light switch. And he's just admiring that fan. And he flips that switch up and the fan starts to whirl. And about that time, down it comes, crashes into his glass coffee table and shatters it. And then the scene switches to the outside of his home, and this nice, peaceful scene, the beautiful bay window, and about that time, the silence is broken by that broken ceiling fan that comes flying out the window. And then the caption for the commercial says, need help? With a big question mark, and then it says, come to Lowe's. Here's the thing, we need help this morning. If we're going to live a righteous life, if we're going to be the people that God wants us to be, we absolutely need help this morning. And our help comes from Jesus Christ. Look, peace is a choice, really. See, we can be at peace with ourselves and with God, or we can be God's enemies. I mean, that's really what the book of James says. And by the way, don't go read the book of James unless you're wearing some steel-toed shoes, because he's going to jump all over. He doesn't pull any punches. He says, look, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? I'm afraid today too many Christians are being too friendly with the world that's out there. And he goes on, he said, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. He's just simply putting it this way, you can't play both sides. Now, we want to come in here and play both sides. Look at us, we're being good. But there is no two sides. If we want peace, if we want power, then it comes from embracing Jesus Christ. So the choice is ours about peace. Why? Because we've been justified through faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. No relationship with Jesus, no peace. And the beauty is simply this, just like the old song goes, the old account was settled long ago, long ago. And the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago. See, Jesus paid our sin tab. We didn't have enough to cover it, but he did. And that's why it's a choice, because he paid the price and he gives us a choice. Now, we can choose to ignore it. We can deny that his death on the cross meant anything at all. We can choose to never accept Jesus, but what we cannot do is change what he did for us on Calvary. And when we do choose, and we only get to choose because he lets us, but when we do choose him, when we choose to be in a right relationship with God, then there is this great peace that comes and settles over our lives. Look, God has always loved us, but God is holy and just, and God hates sin. And when we choose sin over Jesus, then by our choice, we've become his enemies. And that's a miserable and peaceless life to live. Look, the truth is, the only peace this world is going to know today is the peace in the people of God and within us. So Christ in us, he's our readiness. And with him, we're ready to lace up our shoes and get out there and get engaged, because his presence really does move us. You know, people can try to persuade us. People might even try to manipulate us. But what cannot happen? We cannot motivate us, because motivation comes from within. And it's with his presence in our lives within that we're moved to go out there. And the truth is, the more that I know Jesus, the more I'm ready and the more moved I am to see people saved, the more I want people to come to the peace that I found. So are we ready? You know, when I was growing up as a boy, I always knew that summer was turning into fall when Hank Williams Jr. would sing, "Are you ready for some football?" And I usually was, because I love football. But the question is powerful, isn't it? Are you ready? See, are we ready to truly worship God? Because that means holding nothing back. Are we ready to bow before God on Judgment Day? Are we ready for our church to grow by doing more than we've done in the past? Are we ready to see souls on this altar point out their lives before God for both salvation and sanctification? Are we ready to truly be the church and commit to Christ and really get out there to where the harvest is? Are we ready to make sacrifices today? When's the last time you didn't buy something you wanted instead so that you could give that money to the church for ministry or for missions? Are we ready to risk to going out and talking to somebody about Jesus? See, our readiness is in our going. Our readiness is really a reflection of our faith and how much faith we have. Sometimes we talk about it, but we're just not sure about it. It's kind of like I was reading the story back, and it happened in 1958. Boeing came out with the first jetliner, the 707. And it was that period of time where there were still both the piston-driven engines and the propellers, and the jets were overlapping, and people were kind of skeptical about this new jet engine that was out there. And one day, a passenger came in, boarded a DC-6. It was one of the old-style propeller-driven planes. And he sat down, and he struck up a conversation with the man next to him and found out the man worked for Boeing. And he'd even worked on the project for the jet engines. And he said, well, he wasn't sure about that new jet engine. The passenger wasn't. And the guy from Boeing said, no, I'm telling you, man, it's the best thing out there. It's safe. You wouldn't believe everything we put that engine through. I'm just telling you. You don't have to worry about that engine failing. And the man said, well, have you ever flown on the Boeing? The Boeing executive said, no, I think I'm going to wait for a little while. See, there's a difference between what we say sometimes and the way that we live. When we believe, when we have peace, when we live righteously, then we can face all the craziness of this world and the stability and the peace that only God can give us. It's then that we better be ready. We better be ready to give an answer to everybody that's going to ask us about why we've got peace and hope after all. See, people will believe when we care enough to go to them. Now, sometimes I think we're afraid to go to those that are closest and nearest and dearest to us. Sometimes we hold back of going to our family and our friends. We're afraid we'll be overbearing. Well, folks, there's a difference between nagging somebody and simply talking to them. And you know the difference. I don't think it's so much that we're afraid of being overbearing. I think it's too much to know that sometimes it's hard to go to tell someone how much they need a relationship with Jesus and how they need to be sold out to him when they look at our lives and know that we're not. Maybe that's why we don't go. Well, it's time to put on our shoes. It's time to step out in faith and go tell people about Jesus, the Jesus that can truly change their lives, and I know that He will, and I can look Him in the eye and tell them and assure them that He will because He changed me. And I know He can change them. I know what the world needs today is the gospel of peace. Sure, we need missionaries in Zimbabwe. Yes, we need them in Honduras, but we also need them right here, and those missionaries are us. Are we ready to lace up and go be peacemakers? Readiness is not what we do on any given day, but what we do over many days. The truth is, being a good Christian parent is more than simply dedicating your child to the Lord, though that's important. No, being a good Christian parent means that you day in, day out, minute after minute, raise them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Look, our readiness comes from Christ. And our readiness is seen in our going. There's an old children's game out there, I guess probably before the PS3s and the Xbox 360s when kids played, but the game was hide and seek. Remember how the game started? One of the children had to go close their eyes somewhere, and they counted to whatever the number was. You know, you wanted it to be as big a number as possible to give you more time to go hide. And then after they counted and they finished whatever the count was supposed to be, what did they yell? Ready or not, here I come. Ready or not, tomorrow is coming. Ready or not, tomorrow there's going to be people that go stand before Jesus. Ready or not, we have been given a ministry and a mission to reach Turbyville. Our readiness is the gospel of peace. I guess we go back to the question, are we really ready? Lord, this morning, we embrace your word and your challenge to us. We understand that it's not about who we are, but it's about who you are. And we know that what we cannot do, that you're able to do in and through us. What we need to do this morning is simply open our lives to you, because you are the only one that can make us ready to truly live out our faith in a way that will honor you. Help us to be ready, because we don't want to lose anyone to eternity without first telling them about you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Please stand this morning.
We invite the congregation to turn to number 444. And seeing all three of these verses, you'll notice it touches home, because each verse challenges us to the fact that whoever we are, wherever we are, we can be that light. And as we sing this number, as congregation, there are among you those who say, yes, Lord, I want to be more of a light in my community. I come forward this morning rededicating my heart to be that light. We invite you to make that commitment as a believer at this altar, saying, Lord, by your help, I'm going to do even more in reaching Turbyville and a community for Christ. You move out as God's Spirit speaks to you about a testimony in this public commitment.
Oh,
And we are ready because Jesus Christ has readied us and he has sent us. And there's going to be some people changed tomorrow because we allowed him to live in us today.
In my life, Lord, in my life be glorified, and may that truly be our benediction today. Till we meet again, may God bless you, and you are dismissed.